there and welcome into another edition of the JMAC podcast. So glad that you're with me as we answer an important question today. I'd love your feedback in the comments. Is the media using COVID-19 against President Trump? Because he says the media is using COVID-19 against him. In fact, it's about all he can talk about. And I believe the answer 100% is that the media is using it against him. But he deserves it. He earned it. He earned the coverage. He earned all of it. And let me explain. Before we do that, this is Anorex. Am I saying you're right? Your name right? Pence is following guidelines, but he should be in quarantine. They set themselves up. This is in regard to Mike Pence's assistant or somebody getting COVID-19. I actually might disagree with you on this a little bit. If Pence is taking daily COVID-19 tests or maybe twice a day, I think he can be out of quarantine. That's just my opinion on that. I know the media has been hammering him pretty hard today about not being in quarantine. But if he's getting tested all the time, see, you and I have to quarantine. My son was just in quarantine because we're not getting tested constantly. We're not surrounded by the best medical and professional care. And so that would be a reason why he can be out of quarantine. That's just my first blush response to that. But let's get to this idea. Is the media using COVID-19 against President Trump? This is President Trump over the weekend at a rally. I'm going to play for you what he said, and then I've edited in what I heard. I'm taking a little bit of license here. Please forgive me, but maybe this is what you heard as well.
They prolong the pandemic. That's all I hear about now. That's all I hear. Turn on television. COVID. Please don't go and vote, COVID.
Marsha. I'm tired of being in Marsha's shadow all the time.
COVID.
Marsha.
COVID.
Marsha.
COVID.
Marsha.
COVID.
Yeah. Nobody plays the victim card better than President Trump. And that's what I heard. Marsha. For those of you who are too young to know, go back and watch some Brady Bunch and you'll know what that is a reference to. But he's tired of being in the shadow of COVID-19. And is this criticism earned? Absolutely it is. This could be a victory parade when it comes to President Trump and how he has handled this. If he had responded differently to mask wearing, if he had demonstrated at his rallies and at his White House events how you properly social distance and how you wear masks, if he had done everything in his power instead of, in his own words, downplaying, even if COVID was still prevalent and spiking, he would be able to say, look at all of this stuff. But because he hasn't, and because we're not rounding a corner, even though he says we're rounding a corner, this is fair game. I mean, you want to be the leader of the free world, then you need to be able to handle not just the economy, but you need to be able to handle pandemics as well. So then he tweeted out this: we have made tremendous progress with the China virus. He's back to saying the China virus. But the fake news refuses to talk about it this close to the election. COVID. Marsha. Is being used by them in total coordination in order to change our great early election numbers. And then he says this: it should be an election law violation. An election law violation to report on COVID-19. This guy doesn't want to be the president. Hang on. He wants to be a dictator when it comes to this kind of stuff. And I frankly am getting tired of it. And I'm getting tired of people on my side of the aisle, the conservative Republican side of the aisle, not saying this is outrageous. These comments are outrageous. Now, I've been, if you want to follow me on TikTok, I've been conducting a little bit of an experiment, and I'll put a link to my TikTok here in the description. It's just Jay McFarland Zero on TikTok. And all I've been doing mostly is just posting clips of Ronald Reagan and how he handled the crisis and how he handled the media attacking him and how he carried himself in all situations. And I haven't been adding any commentary about whether or not how this reflects on Trump, but Trump supporters have been getting so upset at me, and I'm just posting clips of Ronald Reagan and how when the media attacked him, he responded with humor and he deflated what they said. Amazing. This is Kim. Kim says, if I heard you speak like this during the primary, I would have voted for you. I'm not saying anything I haven't said the entire time I ran my campaign. When people asked me how I felt about Trump, I clearly told where I agreed with him and where I disagree with him. Now, we didn't have all of this latest reaction from President Trump on COVID-19. He's gone insane. But I'll tell you, one of the reasons why I believe I lost is because I was not a sycophant for Trump. And the person who beat me is. To him, Trump can do no wrong. To me, I've always tried to call him like I see him. And I will continue to do so. But when it comes to COVID-19, you know, before it's like, hey, I don't like the way Trump attacks people. I don't like how he's a bully. I appreciate some of his policies and some of what he's trying to do. But now when it comes to COVID, I mean, he's messing with people's lives here. And he's doing it to get elected. And he's lying to the American people. And he's caused a political divide when it comes to saving lives. And this is from a side of the aisle that is supposed to be pro-life. It's supposed to be Christian values. It's supposed to be love your neighbor. And what he's done is he's ginned up this anger and this conspiracy theory about COVID-19 being a hoax, about how mask wearing doesn't work. One minute you ask him if you should wear a mask, he'll say yes. And 2 seconds later, like in the 60 Minutes interview, he questions it. He shares misleading information about mask wearing. It's just been ridiculous. And honestly, in some areas, like before COVID, I would give him a C on things. I would give him a D on things. Some areas I'd give him a B. But with COVID-19, it's an abject 100% leadership failure. And here's what happened. Early on, he felt that this was going to affect his economy. And he knows that the economy is the number one thing that he has going when it comes to re-election. The economy and Supreme Court nominees. And by the way, I think he's done well with Supreme Court nominees. So when he saw that, he started to downplay. He didn't downplay because he didn't want there to be fear. He downplayed because his number one re-election item or platform was being threatened. That's why he started to downplay. And that's why, and even his campaign people are telling him, please stop talking about COVID. You can talk about the economy still. I mean, anytime I hear the left rip on President Trump for the current economy, it drives me crazy. Because any president would have this economy in a pandemic. And in fact, Joe Biden would probably have a worse economy when it comes to the pandemic. Now, I think that we might get through it faster because he wouldn't be downplaying. He would be setting the example wearing a mask. He would be encouraging people. He wouldn't be aiding conspiracy theories that are risking people's lives. But any president would have this economy in a pandemic. So to hold that over the president, I don't like that. I don't go for that. But this idea that the president has done an incredible job with COVID, which he continues to say is a lie, and that we are rounding the corner is a lie. And I'll play for you another lie, and that is that we have more cases because we have more testing. That's another lie, and I'll explain to you why. And if there are those of you out there who still think that the numbers, the COVID numbers, are being elevated, that people, hospitals are saying, we're calling this a COVID case because that gets them more money. If you still believe in that conspiracy theory, I'm going to share with you another way to look at the data that completely refutes that. And I believe is indisputable as far as how many people have died and how dangerous COVID-19 is. But first, let's talk about where we're at in this country. Are we rounding a corner or not?
43 states and D.C. are now up at least 10% in the last 2 weeks, with Michigan also breaking case records.
No one wants to see us take steps backwards. But if COVID is growing uncontrolled across our state, that will be necessary.
The battle against COVID canvassing the Northeast, too, where New York, New Jersey, and Massachusetts just notched numbers not seen since May.
Now, that is in the United States. What about in the state of Utah? I want you to see this. This is pretty dramatic. Look at that in the state of Utah. Wow. Now, I thought initially that our state had done pretty well with leadership. I think they've just quit now, it feels like. And if you've heard the latest reports that we're going to have to start rationing medical care in our Utah hospitals. That's madness. This is what Utah looks like. So are we rounding a corner? Are we? Honestly? Be honest. Are we rounding a corner here? No, we're not. Now, what does the president say? He says that it's because we're doing more testing. Here he is again.
Why there's so many cases? Because we test. Because we test more than any country in the world. Nobody tests like us. Cases. Everybody uses the word cases. Mortality, way down, way down. And a lot of those cases that you're talking about are young people, very young people, that get better 99.9. They get better almost immediately. No, use the word case because you're trying to scare people. Don't scare people. Don't scare people. The fact is that we're doing very well. The vaccines are coming out. The therapeutics are coming out. But we have more testing than any country in the world. That includes India with 1.5 billion people.
Now, let's break this apart a little bit. First of all, he talks about how the young, it's okay because the young people get it and they survive 99% of the time. The young people are spreaders. Okay. So thank goodness they are not dying at a rapid pace, but they are spreaders. And as you look at the Utah numbers and the spike, it correlates. Now, is correlation causation? I don't know here, but I'm just going to share with you my theory. It directly correlates with the return of children to schools. And I believe that what has happened is that we are creating centers of super spreading, whatever you want to call it, and that they're bringing this thing home. Now, the president is right. We are seeing fewer deaths, and that's great news. But we're still nowhere near the level of deaths for the flu. We're still way above that. And remember, deaths is always a lagging indicator to case counts, okay? So let's get that young people out of the way, and some of the other things the president talks about. This idea that we have more cases because we test more is outrageous. It is one of the most ridiculous statements you could ever make. And this is the leader of the free world. Think about when tests are done, okay? When are you going to get a COVID-19 test? You're going to get a test when you feel symptoms, all right? Last week I came down with something. I don't know if it was allergies or something. And I kept waiting. I'm like, can I still taste? Can I still smell? At what point am I going to go down and am I going to get a test? The vast majority of people who are getting tested are getting tested because they're showing symptoms. Now, there are certain professions and areas where you have to get tested without symptoms. If you want to be a professional athlete right now, you're getting tested all the time. If you work around the White House, I hope you're getting tested all the time. Although I can't say for sure that that's true. So there are areas, I'm assuming that hospital workers are getting tested on a regular basis. But the president is acting like we're going out into just the masses, the general population, and we're testing everybody and we're finding cases. That's not what is happening, my friends. People are only getting tested when they feel sick. And this is not accounting for the number of people who are completely asymptomatic. Remember, one of the things that separates COVID-19 from the flu that makes it so much dangerous than the flu is you can carry this bad boy with no symptoms. Whereas if you catch the flu, you feel the symptoms immediately, you call work and you say, I'm not coming in till I feel better. You keep your kids home from school. And so you've seen the signs and you pull your kids out. Well, you can be asymptomatic with this for a week. You can be asymptomatic for 3 weeks. So the testing that we're doing is not even truly showing the number of people who have caught this thing because of all the people that you'll never know had it because they're asymptomatic. So President Trump, we are not just testing. Nobody's come to my door and said, hey, we're going to test you. And it wouldn't make sense to do that anyway, because you can test me today and then my kid comes home from school this afternoon and they're asymptomatic and they caught it from somebody else. So although I got tested today, tomorrow I'm going to have COVID-19. So this entire explanation of his is just outrageously inaccurate. And again, he's trying to downplay. He's telling everybody. In fact, he blames the media for spreading fear. I'm just curious, in all the years, let's say the past 10 years, when you've heard, hey, you need to go out and get your flu shot. Hey, if you get the flu, stay home. It's flu season. So here's the guidelines. Wash your hands because the flu can be deadly. Have you ever responded to that with, oh, you're just generating fear? Oh, you're just trying to go after Trump. That's why this has been so ridiculously publicized. I think I've pounded that idea enough. Now I want to get to the idea, and I keep seeing it over and over again. People keep hitting me with it on social media. And that is that the COVID-19 numbers are inflated. Even the president of the United States has shared this idea that the people who have died actually died of underlying symptoms. They had other issues. And doctors are just saying, oh, they died of COVID-19 because they want the money that comes from that, I guess. Even though they get paid for any diagnosis or death, they get paid that for it through insurance or through Medicaid or through whatever else. They get paid for the treatment that comes from that. This idea that the numbers have been inflated. There's another metric that I want you to look at. And I don't see it talked about much, so I'm going to share it with you. It's the excess death rate. Have you heard about this? So I'm going to ask a doctor from YouTube to explain to you what this means, and then we'll dive into it a little bit more.
My name is Dr. Christy Reisinger, and this is by using the excess death rates. Using statistical models based on mortality data from the past 3 years, projections are made for the upcoming year, and the number of excess deaths is the difference between the model's projections and the actual observations. Starting in mid-March 2020, there was a spike in deaths that has continued to be present. The cause for this spike can only be attributed to COVID-19, since there are no other reasonable causes for the spike.
Okay, so did that make sense to you? What she's saying is they have this excess death projection. So what they do is they take the last 3 years of people dying, and it's all deaths in the country. So it's drunk driving, it's cancer, it's everything else. And they take an average for those last 3 years. And they use that average to project what the next year is going to be. And the projection is accurate, pretty much, unless you see a spike. So a few years ago, we had a particularly bad flu season. And so the excess death projection was off because more people died of the flu than was projected. And you could clearly see that in the graph. Well, when you look at excess death projections for this year compared to actual deaths, you're looking at an additional 250,000 deaths this year in the United States out of nowhere. Now, this is not looking at COVID diagnosis. This is not looking at drunk driving. This is not looking at anything else. And so you have to ask yourself the question, what on earth in our society created that many excess deaths? And consider this, that people are dying less from other things because they're staying home. You're seeing fewer car accidents. You're seeing fewer drunk driving deaths because the bars are closed. You're seeing fewer accidents because people aren't going to work. And so actually, the death numbers should be going down with everybody who is sequestered. There are some areas where the numbers are going to go up. I believe suicides are up. We know that this has been a mental health crisis for people to stay home. That's one of the adverse effects of this. But you have to ask yourself the question, what on earth would cause the projections to be off by 250,000 deaths? It should be pretty obvious. It's COVID. And these numbers are not being elevated. I believe that they are accurate. I have shared with you, if you go back and look at the last podcast that I did, which was entitled, Do You Still Think That COVID Is a Big Fat Ginormous Hoax? And I shared with you how the entire globe is dealing with this issue. Those of you who believe that this is a grand conspiracy against President Trump, how do you explain all of the other countries that are experiencing the same problems and going through the same issue? And this is Sheldon. Sheldon says, excess death projections don't take into account socioeconomic issues. Suicides are up. I already said that. Suicides are not up 250,000 people. So you take the excess death rate, and then you take a look at the death certificates, and you can do the math very quickly as to what the increase is from. I suggest you combine the two numbers. That's what I suggest. So take a look at what the CDC and everybody else is saying the death rate comes from, then compare it to the excess death numbers. Then you have two separate things to compare, and then it will work. This listener says, shut up. Okay. Well, I'm doing a podcast here, so you do have a choice whether or not to listen or not. But again, the only answer that I've gotten so far as to why the entire globe is facing this epidemic, and in the last podcast, I take you through seven major countries and the problems they're facing and how they're handling it and their death rates and all of that information. The only answer I've gotten as to what level of conspiracy it would take to engage this type of hoax upon the masses, the only answer I've gotten, New World Order. Look, the bottom line for me is COVID is real. It's dangerous. I would suggest you trust the epidemiologists, you trust the scientists, and that you avoid trusting. Don't trust Biden or Trump. They're political. They're trying to get elected. Trust the people who are in this profession. trust the entire consensus, not 100% consensus, but of the globe. Watch what other countries are going through. This is real. And back to the question, is the media using COVID-19 against President Trump? Absolutely they are. And they should. Because he's earned it. All of it. He refused to set an example. He refused to follow the very guidelines that are published by his administration. When he caught COVID, he had an opportunity to change his tune. He didn't. He doubled down. Now he's telling us he's immune. When Chris Christie got it, Chris Christie came out and said, I was wrong. He learned a lesson. But perhaps he didn't have the level of health care that President Trump has so that he could recover so speedily. I'm sorry, this is a fail. And you should hold it against this president. You should. You can give him credit for all kinds of other things. But in COVID-19, big, fat, fail. And I think it's shameful. Absolutely shameful. It's a perfect example of what happens with a two-party system, and we are filled with fear and anger and hate, and we don't have leaders who seek to unite, who seek to understand, who seek to find common ground. It's just despicable. And I do believe that people are dying as a result of the poor leadership from this White House. This is Twum. Am I saying your name right? He says, I'm watching live from Ghana. Well, welcome aboard the JMAC podcast. This listener said, again, back to Sheldon, most people get over it quick, just like the president did. My in-laws said it felt like a cold. If you go back to that last podcast, there's a couple listeners who said it was one of the worst experiences of their lives. So I wouldn't downplay it. I wouldn't wish it on you, because the truth is you don't know how you're going to handle it. And anybody who says, well, these were... And this is what I hear so often. These were old people. They had other pre-existing conditions. So they were going to die anyway. Honestly. Really? So you're just ready to say, well, they would have died 3 years from now. I don't care if they would have died 6 months from now. That's 6 months of life. This from people who are very concerned about life, I think, on the right. But to just... excuse that away? I mean, what do we have, 30 to 40,000 people a year die from the flu? And we're up over 220 now. And as I showed you, 41% of 41 states are up 10% in the last week. President Trump couldn't have gotten rid of this. And I do believe that it was important to take a look at how it affects the economy. But he made a mistake. And this is a fundamental mistake, I think, from the very beginning. And that is the belief that you had only one of two choices. Either you completely shut down or you completely open up. And I believe that was a false argument. Because what you should have done and how you should have led was to say, we're going to open up, but we're going to open up safely. And so you promote the mask wearing. You demonstrate at your events how you can still be open. So you can say, see, we're the White House. We're open. And look, we have social distancing. Look at this event where we're nominating the next Supreme Court justice. And look, we're all wearing masks. So see, you can be at work. You can be out. You can be at school. You can be open. But you can open safely. But he couldn't do that. It was either all open, which meant no masks for some reason. Why did all open mean no masks? Why did he downplay that? This is where I think he completely missed it and where it shows an absolute failure in understanding. I, to this day, do not believe he even knows how this thing works. And that's my own opinion based upon what he said. But we could have opened and done it right if we had a leader to set the right example. That's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm hoping for. All right, let's see, any other comments? This is Orion. He says, COVID, OMG, Jay, get tested. It's because I'm coughing so much. These aren't sick coughs, trust me. This is just tickle in my throat coughs because I don't talk so much. Let's see, if you had it, your tune would be different, bud. Trump got a cocktail. I'm assuming that's responding to Sheldon. Sheldon did come back and say, yeah, it affects people differently. Yeah, it really, really does. Look, the bottom line is you can love this president for many other things that he's done. I'm to the point now where this COVID has been a straw that he can't return from. He's literally lost his mind when it comes to handling this. He's handled it so poorly, he's given himself no choice. He's painted himself into a corner where now he has to continue down this same path. He had an opportunity when he got COVID to make a turn, and there was still enough time in the election to do that. But now it's, well, I don't know. I don't know what the election is going to bring. I'm not going to make a prediction. I did that last time, and I was so very wrong. So I'm not going to do that. I don't know what to tell you about the polling. I do have a theory about the polling and why the president won in the first place, but this is not the time or the place for that. At any rate, thank you so much for joining me. I'll edit out the coughs. Remember, we have this available in a podcast. That's available in the description of this program. Thank you for joining me. Please support this podcast. Scan that little circular QR code and make a one-time donation or a monthly donation. And continue your comments. I'll see those off the air. And please like and share this podcast so that we can continue to get this information out. My goal is to start podcasting every single day, especially as we're rounding the turn here when it comes to the election. So thank you so much. I hope you all have a great day. And I look forward to talking to you tomorrow.